very, very generous price.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on a Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. As is typical on a Sunday morning, we'll take a look at some of the stakes action from yesterday. Little Belmont at the Big A, some Keeneland. A little bit later on, we'll be joined by Frank Vespi from the racingbiz.com. They do a great job of covering racing in the Mid-Atlantic region. And so we'll go over Maryland Millions Day. They had a really, really nice card yesterday down at Laurel. And Frank was down there, so we will recap with Frank coming up a little bit later on in the show. We also have a little international flavor down at Moonee Valley in Australia. The Cox Plate, really one of the top international races down under, as it were, was run our time Friday night. But we will show a little replay of that as well. Nice Godolphin runner, really nice Godolphin runner won that one. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Let me remind you that today here at the Clubhouse Racebook, as always, Sunday afternoons during the NFL season, you can come on down, watch all the racing action and all the football action every Sunday throughout the NFL season. You can come in, perhaps win a jersey, put your name on the squares, maybe you'll win a voucher to the restaurant. It's always a lot of fun down here on Sundays with the opportunity to watch all the football action every Sunday throughout the season. Right here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Let me remind you as well, reserve your seat for the Breeders' Cup here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Breeders' Cup Saturday. We always get a nice big crowd. It's always a lot of fun. If you reserve a seat, you get a commemorative glass as well. So we'd love to have you down here to join us on that Breeders' Cup Saturday. So give us a call or stop on by and reserve your seat for Breeders' Cup Saturday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Also, don't forget two big bankrolls coming up that Breeders' Cup Saturday. Two $2,000 bankrolls that will benefit bankroll teams, hopefully in a big way. But there'll be an online bankroll, $2,000. I will have a $2,000 bankroll here as well. Mike Rennie will have the bankroll. He'll be playing on behalf of his team, and it's an online bankroll. You can take your shot at getting on that bankroll team by sending an email to marketingmail@capitalotb.com. Put your name, your account number in the mail. In the subject line, put BC Bankroll. Again, marketingmail@capitalotb.com. That puts your name in the hat to potentially get on the online bankroll team. The bankroll team here at the Clubhouse Racebook, for folks who reserve tables, you can get in the mix to perhaps get on the team that way. But also, if you show up here that afternoon, you can put your name in the hat. And again, we will select the team here at the Racebook, and I'll be playing all afternoon here, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. So it should be a lot of fun. I mean, two big bankrolls. We'll be able to take some swings and have some fun. So you are invited to participate there as well and perhaps get some free money from Capital OTB. All right, let's jump in. Take a look at some of the stakes action from yesterday at Belmont at the Big A. We'll kick off there first. You know, it was a short field. It was a field of only five in the Noble Damsel Grade 3 event, $150,000 for the ladies going a mile. on the grass. I liked Evie Jets. I was kind of surprised that we got $9.90 as the fourth choice. That was a little surprising to me. But Evie Jets looked pretty good. The chart margin is just over a length. Running second is Plum Alley. I was kind of surprised she was the second choice at 2-1. The 9-5 favorite was Messador, the Christophe Clement runner, the 4. That one runs third. But you can see Evie Jets looks pretty good here. Eric Cancel on board for Mertkin Cantormacci. And I was a little surprised to read the first U.S. graded stakes win for Cantormacci, who's come on the scene and has kind of been a player down in New York now for a while, but came from, you know, starting the career over in Europe and had a number of stakes winners over there. But first graded stakes win in the United States for Cantormacci. And so that was a fun little additional side story. And I know he trains and owns in partnership a lot of the horses that Friends at America's Pastime have. So we've seen him in the winner's circle with their horses a number of times. And there was a nice little piece, Fox, one of their pre-produced pieces that they put on America's Day at the races this summer, had the Cantormacci's, the trainer and his brother, who is, I believe, his assistant, talking a little bit about, you know, the journey from Europe and where, again, they were very successful, and then coming over here and kind of getting started. And I would say they've been pretty successful here as well. But as I say, the first stakes victory for that outfit yesterday with Evie Jets. And I was a little bit surprised at the $9.90 price as the fourth choice in a field of five. I didn't mention at the top, let me mention it now. There is a pick six carryover today at Belmont at the Big A, $45,000 in that pick six today. So if you are a pick six player down in New York, maybe take an extra look. Also on the card, yesterday down in New York was the Hill Prince, that subdivision I like quite a bit. The three-year-olds on the turf. I thought this was kind of a competitive event. I went with Limited Liability, Shug McGahee runner with Jose Ortiz on board. That was the number 10. Limited Liability wound up a disappointing eighth in the field of 10. But the other Shug, Celestial City, the number one horse, gets it done. Went off as the favorite. Lukewarm favorite, paid $9.60. But you can see nice late run there, getting up over McKinnon, and Grand Sonata runs third in here. But Celestial City, still, you know, relatively lightly raced. The second place finish two back in the Saranac to Annapolis kind of touted this horse as maybe being one to watch, because Annapolis went on and faced Older in the Turf Mile down at Keeneland and did pretty well. So this one running second to Annapolis, as I say, was flattering, and subsequently came from that Saranac second at Saratoga down to Belmont at the Big A and won an allowance event on September 24th, and then gets back into stakes company yesterday and wins pretty nicely. And that was only the ninth career start, third win in the career. So this is a little turf runner to perhaps be paying attention to a little bit. Shug, after the race, noted that perhaps they will be looking at the Hollywood Derby. That is December 3rd. That keeps you in your age group. You get some turf towards the end of the year. So it seems like a logical spot to kind of aim for. But again, that there wasn't anything definite. Always these, it's like, let's wait until the next day, see how the horse came out of it, kind of weigh our options a little bit. But that December 3rd Hollywood Derby was mentioned as a possibility. Over at Keeneland, Lexington yesterday. They had a couple of nice stakes as well. The Perryville for the three-year-olds going seven furlongs. I looked, I debated. I was thinking, I'm going to go against Gunite. And then the more I looked, I just couldn't get past Gunite. So I had Gunite on top. But it was an interesting field, certainly. All of that said, it was Gunite, and you know, off a series of triple-digit buyers and ran second to Jack Christopher, Tubeck, and the Jerkins at Saratoga, then really looked like a nice one winning a stake over Churchill last time and comes back and puts it together again here. And Gunite, chart margin just under four lengths, $3.24, so obviously a chalky favorite. Hoist the Gold second, B-Doc ran third. Artorias was a little bit disappointing. I thought that horse was intriguing. Chad Brown, a Judmont runner, in the first three starts of the career. Second, broke the maiden, and then they went into the Curlin up at Saratoga and won that very nicely. And so career start number four off the win in the Curlin. They tried the Travers. Well beaten there behind Epicenter and Cyberknife and Zandon. But cutting back to the seven, with that experience under the belt, I thought Artorias might be interesting. Went off as the second choice at 7-2 and wound up fourth. In there. I also thought Provocateur from Todd Pletcher might rebound to a better effort. That one wound up last in the field of seven. So the horses I had underneath were not up to the task yesterday, but did put Gunite on top, so I was happy with that, albeit not at much of a price there, but it was a good-looking performance for Gunite. And after the race, the connections there, it's Steve Asmus and Ron Winchell. They floated. I mean, we talked yesterday on the handicappers report about the long gone days of, you know, prep races for big races being a couple weeks out. Now it's Epicenter is going from the Travers to the Breeders' Cup. So, you know, yesterday being a couple weeks out from the Breeders' Cup, you're not thinking necessarily these are Breeders' Cup horses, but with a nice performance like that at Keeneland, site of the Breeders' Cup, the Asmussen team did kind of float. They'll look and perhaps consider the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. So we'll see what Gunite manages to do. But again, you're 2 weeks out, so it's not clearly not optimum spacing. But you get a nice win like that over the track, and how many opportunities do you get at the Breeders' Cup? Particularly the Breeders' Cup on a track you know your horse is going to run well on or has run well on. So it wouldn't shock me if they did it. I mean, it, you know, in this day and age, it is definitely, for the vast majority of trainers, not optimal. But again, given the situation, I wouldn't be shocked to see them take the pop. On the female side of things, three-year-old fillies going seven furlongs a little later in the day at Keeneland. It was the Raven Run. I didn't use Wicked Halo in my mix. Again, it was Asmussen and Winchell. I didn't use it. Betting public was right, making it the 5-2 choice in here. And the team, Winchell and Asmussen, and Tyler Gaffleone on board, both Gunite and Wicked Halo. Wicked Halo wins by four lengths. Fingal's Cave is the horse I use, the number five horse. Makes a nice late run here. You can see coming up two from the rail and will wind up second, but it was just too late of a run. By then, Wicked Halo is, you know, clearly out in front. Midnight Stroll runs third. So Wicked Halo, coming off a win in the prior race up at Saratoga, gets it done yesterday. This is a nice little, you know, three-year-old filly, stakes quality sprinter. Six wins now and 10 career starts. So, as I say, I didn't like the horse, but I thought it was kind of competitive. Not that I didn't like the horse. I didn't use the horse yesterday, but I could have certainly pulled that one into the mix. But, again, the betting public was on board. Fingal's Cave went off at 4-1. And again, it was a nice late run, and I tip my cap to Dave Donk and company for taking the shot here with, again, they have a nice little three-year-old sprinting filly and New York bred. So, again, you have a talented New York bred. You just have so many options. You can kind of look to pick off some of those nice New York bred stakes, or you can jump into open company with a horse like this and run very well. And again, just got started a little late there to make headway to the winner, but Fingal's Cave certainly acquitted herself fine yesterday. Do want to note, those were stakes run yesterday afternoon, and again, a little bit later on, we'll be talking about the Maryland Million Stakes with Frank Vespi. And I was watching those, from our cleats branch out in the Utica, Whitesboro area. Had a lot of fun out there. It was another customer appreciation day. We've done a few of them. Shannon Donovan from the marketing department and I have gone up to the Queensbury branch. Did that a month, five weeks ago maybe. A couple of weeks, two, 3 weeks back, the Columbia Turnpike branch. And then yesterday, cleats. It was a lot of fun. Nice little crowd. We have some free food. We have contests. Give away a voucher to folks showing up, some past performances available. So it's a nice day, and as I say, we had a nice crowd out there. So we're appreciative to everybody who showed up at the Cleats branch. Kathy filling in as the manager hosted us very well. So we had some fun up out there. And if you're out in that direction, out kind of the western portion of our coverage area, right over the line from Utica to Whitesboro, Cleats is a fun place to stop and enjoy your racing action if you're out that way. And again, we certainly enjoyed ourselves yesterday. All right, as noted, Cox Plate, one of the big races on the Australian racing calendar, weight for age race. And, you know, for the older horses, this is one where they show up, and the three-year-olds, if they're talented. The favorite yesterday was a horse called Animo from Godolphin. And the post-race comment, the pre-race comments were this could be one of Godolphin's best in Australia, certainly. And this horse had run second in this race, the Cox Plate, last year, Animo. And so was kind of looking to get some redemption with perhaps a victory. And again, it was Friday night, our town. It's about a mile and a quarter. And again, just one of the top races down in Australia. So if you were reading the pre-race commentary from the racing press down there, they were kind of looking for the race to go through Animo, and that's the way it played out. Animo did get it done. Again, Friday night, our time. You can see Animo will kind of step forward here, open up a little bit. That is Animo taking the lead right there. And then some others make late runs. I don't know whether it was enough to feel you were totally getting threatened because the line was right there. It's kind of a short stretch down at Mooney Valley. But Animo gets it done. And, yeah, the post-race, the pre-race previews all said, yeah, he's going to be tough. And typically, you know, have the articles, hey, here are a couple others that maybe are interesting. And I will say, I'm Thunderstruck ran second. El Bodigan ran third in there, but Animo looked pretty good and again was getting the buzz before the race, and then after the race there was just all kinds of, you know, accolades for the horse. Came into the race 11 for 20. Actually comes out of the race 11 for 20. One of the articles I read, I found this kind of interesting. One of the follow-up articles said Animo, with the victory in the Cox Plate, Animo runs his Group 1 tally to 7. And I'm quoting now from the article, giving him an outright hold on the most number of top-flight victories achieved by a horse competing in the Godolphin Blue. So I found that interesting. He is amongst the Godolphin runners, the Godolphin resume. Animo now has the highest number of Group 1 victories. So interesting. Subsequently, trainer said, we've never had a Godolphin horse in Australia as good as Animo. He is our dancing brave. So high praise there. And then they went on to say Royal Ascot is realistic. So Animo, nice victory again Friday night our time down in Australia in the Cox Plate. And it was impressive enough that they are now thinking, you know what, maybe we'll go to Royal Ascot early next summer. So that'll be fun to see, because you don't normally see a lot of the Australian horses making that move. Whereas this time of year down in Australia, you do see some Europeans. The Europeans were in there in the Cox Plate on Friday night, but you do see some of the Europeans showing up. The other way is not, it happens, but it's not as popular that way. But it'll be fun to see if Animo does make the move next year to Royal Ascot, and then how he manages to do facing some of Europe's best, given his record in Australia. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, maybe do a little quick handicapping for this afternoon. Before bottom of the hour, we will be joined by Frank Vespi again, and we'll get some thoughts on yesterday's really nice Maryland Millions card. All of that coming up as Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. I was just kind of perusing Twitter, and within the last hour, our friend Marty McGee from the Daily Racing Forum tweets out, Rich Strike is no longer on the fence for the Breeders' Cup Classic. He's a go. So that's going to be very interesting. I have readily admitted I was very skeptical of this one coming out of the Derby. I thought that was a complete fluke. But last couple of races, we've seen it. It was no fluke. It'll be very, very interesting. The pre-entries for the race are due Monday. They're going to be announced Wednesday. You think by Wednesday evening we'll have the pre-entry PPs to look at. So it's getting fun. Breeders' Cup right around the corner. All right, we got Frank Vespi in about five, so let me just quickly give some ideas, maybe the late pick four today at Keeneland. And again, just giving some ideas, not a real ticket. We haven't seen any scratches or anything yet. So the pick four at Keeneland today kicks off with race number six, maiden specials going 5.5, and I have it 4, 12, 3, and 8. Cravensworth by Gervin. Gervin, pretty good sire, first-time starters. 33 so far this year. 8 wins, 2 seconds, 4 thirds. Those are pretty good numbers. And the horse yesterday, if you were watching the handicappers report, and let me see if I can quickly pull up. Rudder's Men. I just want to bring this one up because I talked about it during the handicappers report yesterday. And I said, watch this one from Todd Pletcher. Because Rudder's Men is by the sire Battalion Runner. And I said, you know, going into yesterday, Battalion Runner, 3 first-time starters so far, 2 winners. And could have floated under the radar a little bit because one of them was at Charlestown. One of them was in Puerto Rico. But I thought those are pretty good numbers. So it may be, you know, see how the Pletcher Runner does. Maybe tuck this in our back pocket and start watching Battalion Runner when his firsters show up. Well, Runner's Men won nicely yesterday. I will say it didn't sneak away at all. It was a Todd Pletcher firster, 2-1 on the morning line, and went down to become very chalky. Had been working well, though, and it was Todd Pletcher with a firster. But again, I just bring it up because tuck Battalion Runner, as they say, into the backpack pocket of your handicapping toolbox. He may be an interesting sire to keep our eyes on here. But Gervin, very good as a sire of firsters. Ron Moquette can have him ready. I'll put Cravensworth on top. Bolt 45 by Bolt Dioro. That's a win early sire, and this one just missed in debut. Won't be surprised to see some benefit from that. And West Point has, speaking of the devil, goes out for Steve Asmussen off a decent little workout right here at Keeneland last time. And not this time is the sire of time, the market, the number 8. At 15-1, Luis Saez on board. There's a little bit of breeding there that's interesting. In the 6th, 4, 12, 3, and 8. Race number 7, they're on the grass in the Dowager, a mile and a half. I have it 5, 6, 7, and 2. I'm going to put Temple City Terror on top. Comes out of a decent try in the Flower Bowl up at Saratoga. Prior to that, an even better effort in the Glens Falls, running 2nd. Has had a number of tries down here at Keeneland. Hasn't gotten a win yet. That's maybe a little bit of a concern. But Tyler Gaffleone on board for Brendan Walsh. I'll take the pop there in a competitive race. Sister O'Toole coming in from most recently a tryout at Del Mar, but it's a Grand Motion trainee. And on a best effort, you know, you go down the page, and again, all of these are maybe a little bit inconsistent, but inconsistent kind of at the top level. But on best efforts, Temple City Terror, Sister O'Toole, and Beside Herself, I think is also an interesting player in here for Todd Pletcher. Luck Money going out for Arnaud Delacour, I think, can also maybe make a little noise in here. In the 7th at Keeneland, the Dowager, 5, 6, 7, and 2. 8th race this afternoon at Keeneland, allowance non-winners a 1. 7, 3, 8, and 6. We'll put Big City Mama on top. Goes out for Shug McGahey, third start back so far this season. First start back was pretty good. Maybe a little regression, perhaps a little bounce in the second start. Won't shock me at all to see a nice improved effort on a series of efforts that seem to have this one maybe primed. Big City Mama on top. Park on the Nile has the early speed for Kenny McPeak, and that speed could be dangerous in here. This one may try to steal it, and I don't think that's out of the question. And Ice Orchid, laid off from February until September. The comeback effort, I thought, was pretty good. Kind of a decent one to build on and maybe move forward from. 8th at Keeneland, 7, 3, 8, and 6. And finally, we wrap it up at Keeneland this afternoon in the 9th. 10, 6, 4, and 7 at Keeneland for me in the finale. I have Evan Singh on top. Goes out for Al Stahl. Off a little bit of a dud last time. But boy, I just think the horse is better than that. A best effort makes this one very dangerous. And I think we may be set up for a good effort today. Lots of early speed from Lyrical Poet. Comes in off a try at Kentucky Downs last time. Won't be surprised to see this one go out and try a theft. But there is some early speed in here. So who knows? And I think Evan Singh has some speed, but maybe has a more likely stalk and pounce trip. So Cloudy, Lyrical Poet with the early speed maybe matches up early with Agent Peter Graves. I don't think this is an impossible mission for that one. See what I did there? But with the early speed, these two may kind of hook up and set it up for our top pick. 9th and final at Keeneland, 10, 6, 4, and 7. All right, that gives you some ideas, that pick 4 at Keeneland, the late pick 4. We will take a break. When we come back, we will be joined by Frank Vespi as we'll go through the really nice Maryland Millions card from yesterday and take a look at some of that stakes action and the results and get a little flavor for what the afternoon was like down at Laurel yesterday. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Doesn't get any better than this, Tom. They're all in line, ready for the start.
And they're off! American Pharoah comes into his final furlong. Breeders' Cup winner, a horse of a lifetime! This is unbelievable! It's one of the most sensational ever.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, our friend Frank Vespi joins us from theracingbiz.com. Great spot to catch up with all the news and notes, racing action in the Mid-Atlantic region. Frank, good morning.
Morning, Seth. Good to be with you.
And we were talking a little bit off the air, and I'm looking at theracingbiz.com right now. And we're going to talk Maryland Millions, but there is plenty more coverage to be found on the Racing Biz this morning, as you guys did a great job. As always, a big day down in Maryland. Give us, before we talk specifically about some of the stakes, we talked to John Piasek yesterday, and I know he does some work with you guys, working with the Maryland Breeders now. Good for him, but I know he's done some work with you as well. But he said, a Chamber of Commerce day yesterday, and looking at the simulcast signal, that's what it looked like. Just give us an overview of the day overall.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if the Maryland Million folks had a hotline to God and had ordered up the perfect day, they probably would have gotten yesterday. I mean, it could not have been nicer weather-wise. And, you know, it's fun, and I've talked with Cricket Goodall, who runs Maryland Million and the Horse Breeders, about this. And one of the really neat things that they have done now for 37 years is it's not just a big day of racing, it's a big day. Like, people show up for it. There's a crowd there. All the owners come out. All the trainers come out. So, you know, it's a lot of times in Maryland, when a horse wins a stake, there's nobody there. On Maryland Million Day, you got a crowded winner's circle. You got fans in the stands. You know, you have people. So it's just, it's a really nice day, and it's fun to be at the track when it feels like a lot of people want to be there with you.
Yeah, and as I say, I was getting that sense completely watching the simulcast signal, because after every race, there was a nice crowd in the winner's circle. That's always fun. Big smiles, and understandably so. So it was fun to enjoy, certainly, and I'm glad it did turn out to be a great weather day, because that helps things also. Let's jump in. We'll kind of work our way back from the highlight being the Maryland Millions Classic. And when I had John on yesterday, we talked in preview, and I said, obviously, if Cordmaker had made it in, I would have tilted in that direction. But again, and you may want to reiterate, I had John talk a little bit about it, but just for folks who aren't familiar and maybe didn't see the show yesterday, also eligibles on Maryland Million Day are a little bit different than they are on a typical day.
Yeah, so the Maryland Million is different from just about every other state day, because it is for Maryland sires. So it's for horses by stallions standing in Maryland. And they don't have to be bred in Maryland. So, for example, last year's Classic winner, Prendimi, was bred in New Jersey, but he was by a Maryland stallion. So what a few years ago, when the Maryland stallion fall crops were down, they changed the rule. So now it's, if there are fewer than 8 Maryland sired horses in the race, Maryland breds can draw in to create a minimum field size of 8. So that keeps out horses like Cordmaker. And frankly, if I had been, you know, and I talked to it with a couple trainers about this, who had contenders in the Maryland Million Classic, I'd have been finding anything in my barn that was Maryland sired to put in to keep Cordmaker out. Because if Cordmaker draws in, he towers over these guys on class, and, you know, he's coming off a long layoff, so who knows, but I don't want to see him. I don't think I can beat him on his best day, but I could beat any of these, so that's how that works. So it's Maryland sired, not Maryland bred, and that's the key difference.
I appreciate the explanation. As I say, I had John do it yesterday, but for folks who missed and may wonder, because that field size is different in races, and they're still also eligible, so you kind of scratch your chin a little bit. But I hadn't even thought about that aspect. I hadn't thought about kind of the chess game that may be played of, let's pull this one out and get entered in there and keep Cordmaker on the outside looking in. But that said, Cordmaker did scratch. And so underneath, as I talked to John yesterday, and I think we actually just looked at the stretch run of the sprint, but the stretch run of the classic we'll take a look at. And our nation on parade, I said to John yesterday, these are the kind where I wonder if the claim last time wasn't made with intent of, hey, let's claim, and I think we got the Maryland Million Classic sitting out there, and our nation on parade wins, the chart margin's going to wind up to be just under six lengths, and looking pretty good doing it as the 2-1 favorite.
Well, you are absolutely right. The claim was made with intent, and in fact, Jamie Ness, the trainer now of our nation on parade, said that when he when they claimed the horse, it was a five-way shake, and he believed that all of the other trainers trying to claim the horse were Maryland trainers trying to bring him back for the Maryland Million Classic. So that turned out to be really smart. I mean, there's a whole like kind of a neat backstory here. So the breeder Jay Williamson bred this horse, raced him once. He ran second on debut. Sold them to Dean Reeves of Reeves Thoroughbred. Second start, the horse wins the Maryland Million Nursery. Reeves takes him to Florida. Horse never comes back to Maryland again. Then Ness claims him, brings him back. First start back in Maryland is the Maryland Million Classic yesterday, which he wins for fun. Turns out that the mare, Parade of Colors, by leading the parade, had been in Ness's barn at the end of her career, and Jay Williamson went to him and said, hey, that mare you got, when you retire her, I'll take her if nobody wants her. And he said, why do you want her? She's slow. He said, I don't know. I just feel like she'll be a good brood mare. And it turns out she's thrown nothing but winners, including this horse.
Yeah, that's great. Those kind of stories are always a lot of fun and interesting. I wondered if maybe you talked in the winner's circle afterwards and got the story there, because as I say, it had the look that this claim definitely had the look of, yeah, we've got the condition book here and we got a pretty nice race sitting out there, and the shake story adds to it as well. All right, a little bit prior to that, the Maryland Millions Sprint. And again, we'll take another look at that stretch run here. I had For the Love of Bourbon on top. It was hard to kind of go by off the win streak. The betting public was right there as well, as this one was the 1-2 favorite. Came in with a five-race win streak. All at Parks, however, but comes over to Laurel on Saturday and gets it done. Karen's Notion second, Always in a Hurry third. But Paco Lopez on board for Michael Pino with For the Love of Bourbon, getting it done, as I say, at a $3 price.
Yeah, we don't see much of Paco in Maryland, but we might see more after yesterday comes down, wins a couple of these stakes, including this one. And I mean, how good is For the Love of Bourbon? I mean, this horse is running lights out now. And I felt like yesterday was not one of his better efforts, and he's just too good for these guys. And, you know, he had been cleaning up the Parks. But I think it was notable, and I talked to some other folks about this. You know, he's the best sprinter at Parks. The second best sprinter is Barron. Barron came down to Maryland and won the DeFrancis Dash. And For the Love of Bourbon has been, you know, throttling him the last couple of meetings. So this horse is just really, really good right now and running, I think it's a six-race win streak. And I thought it was a big try for Karen's Notion. I thought he ran great. He won this race 2 years ago, and he's a nice story himself. But I thought he ran a really good effort at long odds. So Good effort there, but For the Love of Bourbon is, you know, he might have been the best horse on the card.
Yeah, and again, referring back to what we talked about a little bit earlier, this one's a PA bred, a Pennsylvania bred, and has faced some state breds at Parks. How does that, if you know, how does that work? Bourbon Courage being the sire. So does the dam go to Maryland for the breeding and then go back to Pennsylvania to be foaled?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah,
yep.
Okay.
And, you know, so it's just, you know, I mean, there's obviously there's lots of stallions in Pennsylvania too, but you know, the people move their mares around for different reasons, relationships they have, or they think, you know, this might fit. And sometimes it's the stallions that move. You know, for example, Northview used to have a Pennsylvania division and a Maryland division, and they closed their Pennsylvania division, and so some of those stallions came here. So now they're, you know, so there's kind of, throughout the Mid-Atlantic, you know, New York kind of stands on its own, but throughout the Mid-Atlantic, there's a lot of kind of, you know, crossing borders because there's, you know, a bunch of small states next to each other.
Yeah,
so.
Sure. All right, let's go to the Maryland Millions Turf. I looked in here, and I was using Midnight Hauler. The betting public was as well, making that one the 2-to-1 choice. Midnight Hauler winds up running fifth in here, however, and it's going to be number 11, Wicked Prankster. I had that one at the bottom of my mix, so I didn't, you know, I wasn't discounting it. Came off an allowance win at Laurel back on October 16th, so a pretty quick turnaround for this one. But again, you come off the win and you look and you see maybe a nice $125,000 stake. You turn right around and grab it. Street Copper runs second. Crabs and Beer runs third. But again, on the quick turnaround, Wicked Prankster gets it done yesterday.
Yeah, this is one of the really neat stories out of the day. Sammy Davis, who is the owner and trainer, claimed this horse 2 years ago. And he said to me yesterday, he said, this has been the plan for 2 years, was to come and win this race. And I said, well, what if, you know, you wheeled right back on 6 days rest. What'd you see that made you think that? And he kind of said, no, that you're not looking at it the right way. He said, we were always coming to the Maryland Million, which meant we were going to have to breeze a week out. I looked in the condition book. There's a mile allowance. I said, that's perfect. We'll just go in there instead of breezing. So that's what he did, and then it shows up in the turf. There were 1 million people in the winner's circle to celebrate with him, which was very neat. Sammy has a 6-horse stable at Laurel, so you know he's a small-time guy who gets a bite of the big apple here. So that was neat for him. And Richard Monterey, who's the jockey, was very emotional afterwards, and I talked with him about it, and he said, you know, I don't get many opportunities these days, so I this means a lot to me to get a chance to ride a horse like this and win a race like this. So, you know, those are the kinds of things you kind of love to see on a day like that. Now, in terms of the race, the one thing I will say is I like So Street in here a little bit at a price. I thought he would either be on the lead or, you know, sitting right off Wicked Prankster, and he was in mid-pack the whole way around. I guess that shows you what I know, but I was sort of mystified about where he ended up in this race.
Yeah, I had Slow Street right underneath in the second spot myself, and yeah, you're looking the last couple of races up there in the lead, so it was maybe a little bit of a head-scratcher of a trip. And as you were talking, again, that's a fun story. It's always fun when the little guys do it. But that plan, it's like, yeah, we had to work him anyway, so why not go win a race 6 days out in prep? But to go to your point, and I pulled it up while you were talking because I thought I saw it last night. Again, John Piasek was on with me yesterday, and looking at his Twitter feed, he has the winner's circle photo from Wicked Prankster, and yet it was such a big crowd, they had to move out of the winner's circle and go onto the track.
Yeah, no, exactly right, and it was really funny, because I talked with Sammy, Joe Clancy from Mid-Atlantic Thoroughbred, and I talked with Sammy Davis afterwards for a few minutes, and they were having a champagne toast in the grandstand, so we went in with them, and he was double fisting it. He was ready to have a good time. He, you know, first glass went down in about 5 seconds, and then it's fun. You know, this is what you want to see. You want to see people really enjoying this. sometimes the people that win the biggest races are very sort of buttoned up about it, and it's more fun to see people just letting loose and really enjoying the
absolutely
moment.
And the little guys, and a guy like that who a plan comes to fruition, that you have to absolutely appreciate that. Eighth race was the Maryland Millions Lassie, 6 furlongs the trip. I got it right here on top. The underneath horses, not so much, but I did like Chickiness. I mean, what jumped out to me was the Bullet Work coming into this. The record was very impressive. 4 starts, a win, and 3 seconds. So maybe a little bit camera shy, you would have to think, but not yesterday. Kind of grinding, and gets it done here. And does it in a nice fashion. Again, Chickiness getting it done. And I'm just pulling up my chart here. Running second with Skylar's Sister, and Basarati runs third. As I say, I wasn't so good underneath. I wasn't using those, but did have the winner on top. Who, again, these two races, the boys and the girls for the two-year-olds, are always a couple of more fascinating races for me on the card. And I think Chickiness is shaping up to be an interesting horse to follow going through. The numbers haven't gone through the roof, but I think certainly in the Mid-Atlantic region, she'll be one to watch as we transition from 2 to 3.
This was a nice effort. You know, we were talking about the sires a minute ago, and Chickiness is by Blofeld. If you want to amaze yourself, look up the numbers Blofeld is putting out right now. I think all of his starters have won, and they're winning at like a 20% clip. It's absolutely insane. And these were, he had his first 2 Maryland Million winners yesterday, including this filly. So he on the stallion side, he's going to be one to watch. This was a good effort from Chickiness, though, and I think it's notable. You mentioned that she had been second 3 times. 2 of those were to Bound by Destiny, who is now 4 for 4, so had been keeping pretty good company at Delaware Park. Bound by Destiny, one you're going to want to watch a little bit. This was 1 of 2 wins on the day for Jamie Rodriguez, the jockey, and Jamie Ness, the trainer, so, and they win at approximately 100% clip at Delaware, so... they're used to getting their pictures taken together for sure. What other horse? I thought Basarati ran a good race here. Yeah, one other horse I think might be worth looking at stretching out a little bit is the 4th place finisher, Synergy's Electra. She's kind of come running late in both of her starts, might need a little bit more ground.
Yeah, she came in as a maiden, so certainly they have some ambitions for that one. Synergy's Electra, again, one to maybe keep our eyes on going forward. The 7th race at Laurel yesterday, the Maryland Millions Distaff. I like that I never know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Fee Despree, and that one certainly has looked very good throughout the career with 10 wins and 21 starts coming into yesterday, 8 for 15 at Laurel. And she does it again yesterday under the X-Man, Xavier Perez. Malibu Beauty runs 2nd, and Sweet Gracie runs 3rd. But this horse, this winner, she has been very, very talented throughout in that Mid-Atlantic region. As I say, crosses the $500,000 mark with the 11th career victory. The chart margin here is a length and a quarter, but doesn't get threatened coming under the wire. So nice win for, as I say, I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Fee Despree?
Fee Despree, yeah, you've got it. A lot of people get it wrong, which is not surprising because most of us don't speak French, but yeah, Fee Despree.
Because I am not pronouncing, you know, I'm leaving the L's out of the mix there, but yeah, I took high school French.
Yeah, exactly. You and me both. And I'm not sure what good it does us, but we pronounce Fee Despree more or less correctly. So now she is a cool mare. I mean, you know, this is a horse, she didn't get to the races till she was like 4. Jerry Robb, the trainer who co-owns her, he and his wife are No Guts, No Glory Farm. They co-own this horse with Carl Iannotta, his CJI Phoenix group. But they claimed this horse for $10,000 early in her career. She missed an entire year at one point. Now she's 6, and she's fabulous. I mean, she's won 4 stakes this year, including this race. She was a very strong favorite in here. I thought Malibu Beauty ran a really good race, a much better race, frankly, than I expected her to. In midway on the turn, I'm watching this race. I'm like, I don't think it's today for Fee Despree. But then when he got her straightened away and got her a clear seam, she kicked right in and did her thing. And I just, she's been a really cool story. You know, Iannotta, who, as I mentioned, CJI Phoenix Group, he lives in Las Vegas. He flies out here for these races. You know, he's having the time of his life with this mare. So it's been a pretty cool story for them.
Yeah, you can't knock a horse like this. Again, 11 wins and 22 career starts. Anytime you get up and you're in the 20s with starts and you've won half of them, you know you have a very nice horse, and she did it again yesterday. Also on the card, the Maryland Million Ladies, mile and an eighth on the grass. And in this one, Coconut Cake, I put that one on top. I had a decent day, although there was a lot. There was some short prices with my decent day, but I did like Coconut Cake. Hadn't been seen since mid-July. That was the knock, the layoff. But I tilted in that direction. Coconut Cake, the number 7, does get it done as the 6-5 choice. Double Fireball second. Amplio Esquima runs third in there. But for Tim O'Keefe, Coconut Cake gets it done. Chart margin winds up to be ahead in here in the Maryland Million Ladies.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Coconut Cake obviously figured with these, but I couldn't use her because she was 6-5, and you kind of knew she was going to be 6-5, and I'm just looking at it, and she never wins. I mean, she had lost 14 in a row coming into this, and you know, it's interesting because I talked to Tim Keefe, the trainer and part owner, afterwards, and he said something I thought was really interesting. He said, you know, her biggest problem has been I couldn't figure out what she wanted to do. And he said the reason he had a hard time is because, you know, she's reasonably talented on the dirt. She's clearly better on turf. But he said she tries so hard on the dirt, you know, that it kind of masked that maybe she's not quite as talented on the dirt because she tried so hard. And then finally put her on the turf, and she has now run 5 really good races in a row. And I think, you know, he said, I'm not saying I'll never put her on the dirt again, but clearly this is where she wants to be.
Yeah, and demonstrated that again. I'm with you in that I looked at the horse and thought, hey, off the layoff, and I looked exactly what you're looking at. 2021 and so far in 2022 before yesterday, 0-14 as far as on the win end. But it had one of those buyer edges that I couldn't get by. But I'm with you. At a short price, I don't know whether that's one you wanted to hop all over, but did get it done yesterday. Again, kind of squeaked it out, but did get it done. Maryland Millions Disc.
Big effort from Double Fireball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Maryland Millions Distaff starter handicap. We'll hit on that just because Marvelous gets it done. I like Targ in here. I thought Targ was going to be a little bit interesting at a 9-2 price. That one kind of clunked a little bit, 11th in the field of 14. The betting public was correct, though. Marvelous went off as the 8-5 favorite and got it done pretty nicely in here. Chart margin is going to be over 3 lengths, but as I say, the betting public nailed it here.
Yeah, this is one. This filly came from way out of it. I mean, she was a mile behind the leader after the opening quarter mile, and then came running and won easily. I mean, this field was pretty well spread out. She was 3 in front. The second place finisher was 4 in front of the third place finisher. So, she pretty much laid waste to them at short. Jorge Ruiz, the jockey, got 2 wins on the day. We'll talk about the other one in a second because it was in the nursery. Carlos Mancia, you know, Carlos Mancia is a guy who's been around a long time in Maryland, having a little bit more success the last couple of years than he had for most of his career. So you like to see the guy that, you know, the people who sort of toil in the vineyards without much reward getting some rewards as they go on.
Absolutely. And as you alluded to, we'll wrap things up looking at the nursery. I said it earlier, the 2-year-old races always intrigue me on this card. And this one was really intriguing, as are a lot of 2-year-olds in, you know, the 21st century, 2-year-old stakes races at this time of the year. Because, you know, you go back to when I first got in the game, they may have a little more of a resume. But now they come in, you know, 2 and 3 starts, 4 starts. And to get into a race like this, they've had some success. And so it becomes intriguing, a little bit of a crystal ball. Who's going to feel it today? Who may step forward? I thought last weekend looked very good off the stakes win over at Delaware last time for Dale Capuano. That one had a little bit of trouble and wound up running fifth as the 5-2 second choice. Wild Hunch, the number 11, was the 2-1 favorite. But at 4-1, Johnny's from Albany gets it done. I had that one in my mix as well. Also a Dale Capuano runner. Won the maiden breaker in debut, then had run third at Pimlico, second last time right here at Laurel, and was set up on some what looked to be kind of improving efforts since the maiden breaker, and gets it done pretty nicely. The chart margin winds up to be 5 lengths, so Johnny's from Albany may be one to watch.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
No.
I didn't see a 5-length win coming. I'm with you. I thought there were a lot of ways to go here, and Wild Hunch, Heldish, Lost Weekend. You know, these all seem to be contenders here, and apparently they weren't. Apparently it was Johnny Z from Albany. A quick funny story there. So you had mentioned having John Piazzik on yesterday, and John handicaps Maryland for me on theracingbiz.com, and he had not picked Johnny Z from Albany, and I went up and I was talking with Chip Reed, who is the breeder and owner of this horse, afterwards, and he said, well, you didn't pick me. And as soon as I saw that, I said, that's good. The Racing Biz didn't pick me. So he was happy about that. But this is a neat horse. This is a horse that Chip bred. It's out of a mare he owns named Monster Sleeping. Monster Sleeping won a couple of Maryland Million races for him when she was a racehorse. He named this horse after his sometime partner in horses is a guy named Mike Zanella. Johnny Z was Mike's brother. He passed away a couple years ago. And it used to be like Mike and Chip and this other guy, Henry, that are all buddies, would go to Saratoga together. So the guys from Maryland would go up there, and I guess Johnny Z would meet them with beer and subs, and they'd all go to Saratoga and have a great time. And so this was in honor of a lost friend. Kind of a nice story there.
Yeah, that's cool. So it's Johnny Z. I was calling it Johnny's from Albany. Johnny Z, that makes sense. The Zanella, very
yep,
good.
Johnny Z.
I like
Zanella.
That.
Yep.
Frank, always appreciate the follow-up. We haven't talked to you in a while. I always take that break from the phone guests when we're up in Saratoga. You weren't in Saratoga this year, were you?
No, I didn't get up. Life has a way of creeping up on you. My life kind of crept up on me this summer, but hopefully get back next year.
Yeah, because we always like to have you come over and sit in with us when you're in town, and I knew that I hadn't heard from you, so I assumed you probably weren't, because I think I would have run into you on the front side probably. But we did miss Ron Nicoletti this year. He snuck in and snuck out. Usually I have him sit over there too, but maybe next summer. But Frank, always appreciate the conversation, and we will certainly talk again as we get into the winter season and whatnot. I'm always intrigued by the big stakes weekend down at Laurel. Folks can keep up with all of that at theracingbiz.com, so we appreciate it. And also, I appreciate, because I love this kind of information. I gave it out earlier on a sire called Battalion Runner that I think people should keep their eyes out for, but now I'm marking down Blofeld as well.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers are extraordinary with a pretty small fall crop. It's winter after winter. It's amazing. So, if you're somebody who pays attention to the stallion business, watch out for him.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff. Frank, appreciate it. Happy to have you on board for this morning for the recap, and we'll talk again in the future.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Seth. Have a great day.
Appreciate it. Frank Vespi from theracingbiz.com. And again, if you haven't checked out the Racing Biz, give it a look. Great coverage of all the racing down in that Mid-Atlantic region and beyond. And if Frank didn't mention it, I will toss it out. If you follow Delaware Racing, you can see the Racing Biz picks on the Delaware simulcast every racing day as well. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for this Sunday edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrill. It's been fun being in here. Yesterday we were on the road, so there was no OTB live. And again, appreciate the hospitality afforded us out at the Cleach Branch in the Utica-Whitesboro area yesterday. Nice crowd, had fun. And again, the folks running the branch gave us a great afternoon out there in the western portion of our coverage area. So, again, we were on the road yesterday, so no OTB live, but we will be back in the studio this afternoon, about an hour and a half or so. We will kick off OTB live for Sunday afternoon. I'm going to take a look at a little Belmont at the Big A and a little Keeneland as well, and I'll probably pull up. Always enjoy the sulky side. I'll pull up the PPs for Saratoga Harness, and maybe we'll toss those into the mix as well on this Sunday afternoon. So it should be fun. Hopefully you've had some fun here this morning. We'll take a little break as far as me, but I'll be back in, as I say, about an hour and a half or so for OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.